All right, everybody, welcome to another Tuesday weekly team huddle call. Today is Tuesday, July 7th, 2015, and welcome to the call. Excited to have you. Hope everybody had a wonderful Independence Day, celebrating our independence. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. I just came back from Naples, Florida, and that was enjoyable with the family. I couldn't believe the size of the houses in Naples, Florida, and they weren't even underwater. And then now I'm here for a couple of days, and then I on Thursday go down to Key Largo to spend some time in the water with the family again. So just trying to get my summer vacations out the way.
Awesome. That's exciting for you. I'm actually planning on hoping to head out in August to Costa Rica or somewhere in South America for a few weeks, so excited about that. All right, well, let's get started. I am going to make one announcement. Chris and I are planning to make a change to these calls on a weekly basis. As we're growing and getting bigger and expanding, we've gotten some really good feedback, but we actually think that a lot of these calls, we're not really getting a lot of the repetitive questions. We've been doing them for probably 18 months, and we've been discussing with a handful of members as to how to make these actually even better. So rather than just having an open-ended Q&A call, we are actually going to change the format, and I don't have the announcement. It's going to happen within the next couple weeks, but we're going to do we're actually going to have some of the calls that are going to be based on features and new products and overview of using the tools and different things that Chris and I are doing. To give you an example, we are now rolling out the new deal dashboard that we've been rolling out for a handful of members. We're going to be working to get many of you upgraded. It's a super, super powerful tool. And the deal dashboard allows you and us to be able to track metrics and key performance indicators of your business and the performance of these campaigns. So as an example, one of the calls, we will spend the first part of it actually going through, either providing a video and going through it, and then some open Q&A after. Some new campaigns, we've got a new distressed campaign that we will be rolling out. We've got a new probate campaign that we'll be rolling out. And so we're going to do these calls where we can actually also record and make them available as part of the training. And we're also planning on doing a member spotlight. So some of these calls, we're actually going to be doing interviews of existing members. Is that you, Chris, typing in the background?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that.
Nice. So we're going to actually do some interviews and open the forum up as to something that somebody's doing in their business that's unique that could add value to everybody else. And Chris and I are also going to be engaging with some people that may be outside of the group that we want to interview as to what they're doing around marketing or new tools or approaches on making more money in real estate so we can have a lot more value. We're probably going to do somewhere between 2 and 3 calls a month. The second half of the call will be open Q&A to ask questions, but we're not going to be doing these on a weekly basis. So there'll be a schedule. You'll get an email with the schedule and what the topic is. All right. So, Chris, do you want to add anything to that? I think as we grow, we're getting ready with a lot of new stuff that we're rolling out. We're going to do it kind of in a big bang format. Because there's upgrades to people's Podio accounts to be able to support a lot of these. There's new applications that we're adding into Podio, and we want to make sure that that we can communicate it and get you all trained on it. And so this is the new format with REI Vault 3.0 coming up in the short order. Chris?
I'm sorry. Just that we love some input in general, so you know, as we want to provide as much value as we can on with regards to we want to provide as much value as we can, and so part of that process is also getting some suggestions from you guys in terms of, hey, we really love this, or hey, you know, that material, it was great, but not really that great. I really love this other stuff you guys are doing. Can we do more of that? And just give us some input, good or bad, and so that we can continue to not only provide you with what you need, but for us to get better and seeing what's needed in the community.
Perfect. So with that, if you have any questions on this topic or any feedback, or if you have questions in general that you'd like us to answer for you, you can press *5, and we'll see you raise your hand, and we'll bring you into the call today. And like normal, if we don't have any more, if nobody else raises their hand by pressing *5, then we'll end the call. So go ahead, if you have a question, press *5. And one little thing I will note, on the calls where we're actually doing some live demos, like walking through the deal dashboard or walking through some of the new marketing campaigns that we're rolling out, like the Distressed with Equity campaign or the probate campaign, we'll do those via a link where you'll be able to watch our screen. We'll be using a tool called join.me, and you'll have access to that for the call. We'll still use the dial-in numbers, but it'll also, you'll be able to see stuff on the screen, et cetera. So looks like we've got a call here, Chris. I'm going to open it up here, 901 area code. You are live.
Hey, guys. This is John in Memphis.
Hey, John.
I was wondering, hey, guys. We had talked earlier about maybe some type of interaction group site so that members of the group can have an ongoing interaction with each other, like in between these calls. Have you guys done anything more? I know that at one point you were talking about maybe a Facebook group page or something.
Yep, it's coming, 3.0. And the reason we have it is the Facebook group. We've actually just hired somebody that's going to be sort of monitoring it. As well. The reason we haven't rolled it out is because we want to make sure when we roll it out, it is actually used. The problem is that if only you, John, are on it, you're probably not going to last on it very long. So we want to make sure that we roll it out appropriately and get everybody communicating. So that is definitely coming. It's actually built. And I just hired somebody that actually joined today who is going to be one of the advisors that's going to be monitoring it, also helping people on some of their new campaigns. She's a mortgage broker. She's a private lender. She's done probably, I don't even know, probably 50 deals. It's been mostly purchasing property with owner financing. So she's extremely experienced. And so we brought her on. She's going to just help us part-time. So we brought her on as part of our 3.0 release. Definitely the Facebook stuff and being able to get us all engaged is definitely something we're going to do.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it. The other thing I wondered about, have you guys been seeing very many of the responses to the prospective sellers being at or underwater with their properties? And what are you guys doing about it when you encounter a property owner who's underwater?
On our standard list that we're mailing, on the absentee list?
Yes.
I'm surprised you're seeing a lot of underwater. What are we talking about? Are we just seeing a handful, or are you seeing the majority?
No, I would say a handful more than the majority, yeah.
Yeah. Well, one is if you're seeing a trend, I would use Podio, and there's a field called tag. Where you can actually put whatever tag you want. And I would note those as like underwater or something that's out of norm. So if you're starting to see a trend on that, we can look at that. You could actually send us a ticket to support, and we can just see, have the team do some research, because you really shouldn't have a lot of, you know, and when I say not a lot, I would expect, you know, 5 to maybe 7 or 8% of the leads that are coming in, the viable leads that are coming in, you know, marked call for more information or ready to make offer, 5 to 7% might actually have some, you know, distressed over leverage thing. This is coming from the county recorder and county assessor, so the data is only as good as they have it in your area, but I wouldn't think that that should be a trend. So I would tag it, and then secondarily, Chris, you can answer this, but is there, I assume you don't want to do short sales, right?
No, too much time for me.
Yeah, agreed. So, you know, if you have a realtor and you wanted to refer those to realtors to build goodwill in exchange of them referring other good deals back to you, it might be an opportunity, or you just, you know, turn it into a market off the list, change it to dead, note the lead as, you know, no equity, and then take them off of the mailing so you don't spend any more mailing by clicking remove from STL mailings in the direct mail thing and move on. Chris, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, the only thing I would say from a tracking perspective is just to see if there's any sort of common theme around that to further maybe narrow down the list. As an example, you know, all these properties in one particular zip code, they're all maybe one particular, you know, year built range. Is there any sort of common denominator that would allow you to say, hey, you know what, this zip or this type of property generally happens to be over leveraged, and then we can potentially try to exclude those out of the list. However, the one thing I would say is that I'm always erring on the side of mailing more people than I should to make sure that I don't exclude anyone that might be a prospect. You know, with our, you know, with the generally with the profit per deal perspective, even say for example, every month you're sending, you know, you're spending a couple $100 mailing to people that really shouldn't be mailed to, but in the end, if you try to extract those, you might eliminate a few others that should have been and could have presented themselves to be a deal worth $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. But sometimes it's not worth trying to exclude those people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I thought about before you said that is it seems like a lot of these are coming from like one or two zip codes, so that might be part of the trend.
Yeah. So it could be, exactly. So
yeah,
I would say just keep an eye on it.
Yeah, keep an eye on it. Definitely use the tag because we can get to those fast. As soon as you note it, you just say, hey, I tagged all of them in Podio, and then we can get to the 5 or 10 and look them up, see if we can find any, you know, trends or something.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it, you guys.
Perfect. One other
thank you.
Chris, you actually, I just saw a message from you. If anybody, if there's something specific that you need or have some recommendations, just like John came up with.
Actually, I just sent you, look at the link I just sent you, Gary.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Is that ready to go?
No, ready to go.
Okay. So, suggestion, if you guys have recommendations, suggestions, something that you need help with, that you'd like to see, you know, a new service.
On the training calls, right? Like the productivity, sales, training. Right.
Right. You can do one of two things. You can go out to reivault.com/suggestion box, and there's a little form you can fill out. So reivault.com/suggestion box, or you can just email suggestionbox@reivault.com, whatever works best for you. So that would be, you know, we're building. Everything that we're doing is based on feedback and recommendation. So, all right. So any other questions that you guys have you want to talk about, press *5.
And, again, that URL is suggestionbox. So reivault.com/suggestionbox. No plural on the suggestion. Not that you guys would put an S, but maybe I would. But let us know definitely what topics you'd like to cover on the call.
All right, here's 910 North Carolina. You are live, 910-234.
Hey, guys, this is Allie here in Nashville. How y'all doing?
Allie, what's happening?
Good, how about you?
I'm doing good, man. Good to talk to y'all again. I just had a quick question for y'all since y'all thought about something. I've been hitting these four zip codes here. Like I said, I've been working some leads here. It's going pretty good. I've got some good responses here, a couple of people that we're working with. But I was wondering, the four zip codes I hit here were, those were the most transactions were last 6 to 8 months. Went pretty far back when we looked at that. And I was just wondering, do you guys think, I'm kind of looking at my metrics, and I've noticed that my response rate is, I don't know what you guys think about it. I'm coming at like 3.5%. I'm under, around in that area for the response I'm getting. And I did this here a couple of years before, and I had a little higher response rate, but the market was different then. And I was just wondering, do you guys think that's something that maybe I should, because it is the hotter areas, do you think that has something to do with that rate? If I went out to an area that maybe there aren't as many sales, that I might get a better response rate, because it seems like I said, it's pretty hot here in these areas that we're mailing to. So I just wonder what you guys think about that, as far as if we might get. Of course, I'm going to keep scaling up here, but just real quick, wondering what you guys thought about that. But seems like it's a little low, that response on there. But I just wonder what you guys think about that, is all.
But when you're saying, just to make clear, I understand the question, sir, in the area that you're in right now, it's pretty hot, so you're getting less of a response, and then you're thinking about going to an area that perhaps may not have as much competition that would perhaps give you a higher response?
Well, not out of the market, but some different zip codes.
Oh,
yeah,
I see. Exactly. Okay.
I'm not talking about leaving the area, but yes, in the area that I'm in, about maybe getting some of those just seeing what you thought about that, or something you guys have seen before, or anybody.
Well, sometimes it's a juggling act between the properties that you want, and I'm not sure your model, but let's assume that if I'm wholesaling, then sometimes there's a bit of a friction between the areas that I want to find some deals in, and the areas that the people I wholesale to want deals in, versus the areas that everybody says that they don't want deals in, but I can pick them up and I can sell them because in the end, there are fewer deals to choose from, so they got to take what they can get. So the example would be, like in Miami, there's in the Broward area, for example, there's a couple areas, Hollywood and Miramar, which are pretty hot. If you ask any investor, if I find you a property, would you buy it? Sure. What area do you want? They all say Miramar and Hollywood, because that's a hot area. But it's tough in there because you got to mail a lot. You got to mail a lot, and the response rate isn't that much. But then they got a group of zip codes down and say, and in our neck of the woods, Liberty City, which is not the best area, but we get good response rates, and we found a niche of buyers that will buy in those areas all day long because the numbers work out well for their business model. So although I want Miramar and Hollywood, I still mail those areas, but I got to go in and maybe some of those other zips that, people say they don't want, but in the end, I know I can get some product and I can move it to kind of counterbalance the other area. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Makes a lot of sense. That's what I was wondering about. I'm kind of dealing with the same thing, I believe, here. So, yeah, that's good. Okay, that's what I was going to say.
And sometimes, just as an FYI, sometimes we've had areas where we know that if we could find a deal in that area, it just depends. Let's suppose I use the example of Hollywood. It's going to take a lot of money in order for us to mail to certain zip codes to find a deal. Now, whether our desire to put that kind of money in really will depend on our business model. If we're intending to wholesale, then we're probably going to be less willing to spend a lot of money versus if we're looking to rehab, right? Because the spread is bigger, so we can be in more into a marketing campaign because, when we find a deal, we'll take it all the way through and we'll make X. But if we're wholesaling, now all of a sudden, now that changes the pricing dynamics and how much money we're willing to spend in that scenario, and now we kind of maybe shift our dollars somewhere where we can get a better ROI on that money.
All right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, man. Yeah, Chris, that's exactly what I was wondering.
Okay.
You know, this is going to get a little technical, not too much. The absentee that we're mailing for you is set up at a 30-day frequency.
Yeah.
Okay. And actually, I'm looking. If you give me a minute, I'll tell you. But you had 200 calls. Off of the first mailing, and I could almost bet the second month, because you hit that list again, I bet your calls dropped, and I think that you're hitting the list, that particular list, too often. I think it should be hit every 60 days, is what I would do. So I would work, if you can, to expand out. I'm still a little surprised that the campaign you're almost at 4% response rate. Okay.
Yeah. So It went up a little bit here with this second mail, and I'm going to just...
Yeah, but I think that that's actually part of the problem. I think that you may be hitting it a little too often. Chris and I like 60 days, and sometimes if the list is big enough, we'll hit it every 90 days. That's automatic, but I think probably because you're doing such a targeted, you know, sort of zip codes, those four zip codes, that's why we did every 30. I would expand that. You know, it kind of goes back. You've got two types of marketing lists. There's an equity list, right, which is absentee or free and clear. Typically, you know, we're trying to get as targeted as we can, but it's an equity list. So people that have equity, you know, less likely they got a problem. So what we're doing is we're trying to, you know, go after more of them, right, get them to call and cherry pick the ones where we can find a problem. And then you got a motivated list or a distressed list. That's typically evictions, divorce, a bankruptcy, some sort of economic change. So I think on this list, again, I would add zip codes, and I would change that frequency to 60 days. What I would get the team to do. And you can email support at Sales Team Live and ask them to help you with that. You'll just need to give them additional zip codes.
Yeah, I will. That sounds good. I've been thinking about that the past week or so here. I'm actually, you know, looking over everything. So we'll do that. I'll get with them about that. I think we're going to do that. Change it up a little bit. Okay. Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks. That's what I was helped out a lot.
Awesome. Anything else? Well, we got you.
All right. No, that's it right now, man. That's all I had going right this second. That's what I was wondering about.
Awesome.
Thanks, man.
All right, perfect.
All right, we got another one here. Chris, 604. I think this is Justin. Justin, you're live.
Hey, guys. Not much. Couple quick questions, just the first question is, what is your expectations for if a lead is generated and the seller leaves a voicemail? How quickly do you – what is your guys' opinion of what are your expectations for the VAs to get that transcribed and then, if applicable, assigned to us?
12 hours. So I know I got your message. It should be 12 hours. The reason most of the VAs that are processing leads, we have them balanced in the evening. And the reason is we're finding most of the calls come between 5 and 7 p.m. So while we're all sleeping, as the majority of the VAs are doing the work. I think on your account, if they haven't hit your account, I'll jump on it, Justin. I have a feeling it's because they were off. We actually were closed. Our business was closed. And so the VAs may have had a backlog from the Friday. That's the only thing. But it's typically 12 hours. And, you know, and I will tell you, Chris, you can comment on this. You know, hang-ups, you got to jump on really fast. We have found with the absentee sellers that are calling off of the absentee mailing, it doesn't matter if you call them 24 or 48 or, frankly, even 72 hours later. We've gotten plenty of success off of deals where leads have come in 6 months before, and we're still converting. But from a expectation standpoint, 12 hours, and we're trying to get faster. As we grow and we can get more people into REI Vault, we'll add, and we'll be able to – our goal is to get even faster. And have VAs literally around the clock. They are around the clock, but we've got most of them in the evening while we're sleeping.
Okay. The next thing is, Gary, I did send in a feature request about a month ago, and it was, thank you for the request, we'll pass it on to Gary. It's awesome that, like, so you know how when we send out a pre-sell, it automatically tasks me, hey, follow up in 14 days, right? Because you figure a week to get it to them and then a few days for them to mull over it. And it's great, and I always follow up with those people. Is it possible that the next time the pre-sell sequence campaign goes out, that we could be tagged or tasked in Podio, or we could be sent a notification that this, you know, Joe Smith just got the second piece in the pre-sell sequence?
Possibly. It's a great idea. I need to think about it just a little bit. One of the ways to do it would be that we automatically schedule it on the front end. It's going to be really difficult to know that the second piece on that campaign went out and trigger that.
It's not a I'm dying here because it's not happening. It's a boy, it would be nice if you guys could make it work. So just know that I've already submitted that into the suggestion box. So
yeah.
I know you've got a billion things to fry, and so it's not at the top of the list, but it should be in the middle of the list.
Yeah, now those feature, any suggestions are really helpful. I mean, the whole goal of our shared service and the shared program that we're all tapping into is that, you know, you come up with an idea, but it's good for Graham and it's good for Steve and everybody else, right? So,
yeah.
You know, nothing stupid. Come up with, just provide that feedback. I mean, even the early days, Justin, remember the VAs sucked, right? We had a lot of work on the front end to get the VAs literally to process word for word. And, you know, what's considered not interested versus, you know, remove me from the list. So the
right.
Feedback is, unless we get the feedback from everybody, so just send away. What if the tasks were set up on the front end, 14 days, you know, 65 days, so the follow-up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if it was conservative, so we knew that the mail piece had definitely arrived, you know, I'd rather call them 10 days too late than 10 days too early, right?
Yeah. Yep.
As long as we're confident that it had arrived, then that would be fine.
We're really close as part of release REI Vault 3.0. We're actually going to bring all the mail charges into a new app. There will be a new app. It's just been finished and built and now being tested, but it's a direct mail app. So all of the charges will now go into when a campaign goes out, you know how you get this was what was mailed and this was what was charged. That is going to come into Podio. There is an ability of, you know, I was going to say we could trigger it off of that, but that would be, we wouldn't know what Stellar is called.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And then just one other quick thing, the new list that we had talked about is that raring to go? Were you waiting on, are we still waiting on something like that or?
We're working on it as of today. We're getting a live operator set up for you.
Okay,
and
great.
Finalizing that, we'll be able to drop the distressed campaign this week for you. There'll be a campaign
plan
coming out for approval. Hey, one other note, for those of you that are actually on this call, we have a new distressed with equity campaign, and we are going to roll it out. It's going to be an REI Vault exclusive product. It's a very small list. These are people that are in distress, meaning they are an eviction, a divorce, a foreclosure, a estate sale, a whole bunch of indicators that have equity. The equity is combined loan to value of 55% or less. And it's a different postcard. It's a different process. We're driving those to a live operator where they'll actually be talked to live. So if that's something that you want to tap into, like Justin is, and about 10 others are, you can just email support@salesteamlive.com and ask to be put onto the beta for the distressed with equity campaign. And you'll be contacted. We'd like to get you set up on that if you'd like. It'll walk you through what it is, and we'll find out how big the list is for you. And and then move from there. So just if you're interested in it, be on early release, just email support@salesteamlive.com. Anything else, Justin?
The only other thing was that if you have time or if you guys are interested, I had a quick success story, or if you want me to table that, I can hold it till next week.
Yeah, sure. Actually, Justin, hold on. There's another question. I'm going to pop the other question from 4012 area code, and then I'm going to come back to you. Is that cool?
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, hold on to it for 5 minutes.
Okay.
We'll be right back. All right, 412 area code. I think this is Art. Art, you're live.
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's happening?
You know, just living the life of a wholesaler. What can I tell you?
Awesome.
Dodging bullets and rescuing cats.
Almost got my ass chewed off by a Rottweiler, but other than that, you know.
Hey, that's a good day. That's a good day.
Yeah. Here's my question. I've taken your advice. I'm getting a lot of properties under contract. And since I've been doing that, what I'm running into, and I'm not quite sure how to handle this, is I'm finding that I'm putting it out to my investor list, but I'm finding that I'm out of the office showing properties to the investors more than I'm back, you know, trying to get more deals under contract. Is there kind of like a method to your madness on how to kind of organize that, or I'm not quite sure because I feel like I'm running around with my chicken without a head sometimes.
Well, I mean, when you say showing the property, are these properties vacant? How would you define showing? Is the seller there and you're there with the seller? Are you going because you don't want the seller and the buyer being together? What's the dynamic of that?
It's a mixed bag. Some of the properties are vacant. A lot of them are rented.
Right.
You know, I have to, you know, schedule around the tenants, and I have to, you know, call the owner to set up the scheduling. So I'm just like, I'm doing a million things that I did before, but now it's just magnified because I have so many more properties under contract that it's kind of getting out of hand.
I'll tell you what my answer is, and I'll have Gary chime in, but my answer is that there is no answer in the terms of, like, I think about my, you know, and every sort of anything I've started, there's always that, and when I say anything I've started, meaning in the real estate business and various other businesses, there's always that point where it's just like, it's like you're running around like a chicken cut off without a head, right? Because you're juggling a lot of balls. And to a certain extent, like, the ideal scenario would be if you had someone like an assistant that would, you know, be able to make those calls for the sellers and coordinate all that with the tenants and everything else, because there's a lot of back and forth involved with that. Just making one appointment can take you 30 minutes. However, though, initially, you know, it's also an issue of revenue. Like, in other words, you got to get those deals closed so you have enough money to hire the person so you wouldn't be cut off. You wouldn't be running around like a chicken cut off without a head. But in the interim, you got to do that because that's your only option, right? So it's kind of like the analogy of the airplane getting off the ground and using the most fuel when it's trying to get off the ground. And then when it gets up to altitude, it doesn't use as much fuel. I think, unfortunately, from my experience, and I'll have Gary chime in, is that you do the best you can, but at some point right now, I think you're going to be in a bit of a grind right now while you get these properties sold, and because you're juggling a lot of stuff. And I don't know if there's an elegant answer for an elegant solution for your dilemma, other than the fact that you're going to have to grind it out for a bit.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the answer you were looking for, but that's my answer. Not that I'm implying that you were looking for an easy answer. I'm just giving you my answer.
No, I didn't know. I'm just kind of going through my learning curve again, you know, and I just yeah, all of a sudden I just found myself in my car more than I was in my office trying to, you know, contact the new people and you know, getting more deals under contract. And I'm just thinking, this is crazy. You know, I'm out to some of these properties four and five times, you know, because I'm getting a lot of responses from investors on Craigslist and also from my list of investors that I have. You know, I'm putting it out to them.
Well, the other other question I would have for you is, like, for example, if you say you're going out to the property four times. If you go out to the property four times, assume the four times you went, it didn't work out. What were some of the reasons why it didn't work out? Was it because the buyer wasn't really the right buyer to send to the property? Was it an issue with the property? Like, and that example, or give me a general example of that. Because the only reason I ask is because then you have to look at other things. Like, so in other words, are you vetting the buyers well enough so that you're not going to waste your time going and seeing, I mean, and having them show a property? Is it a situation where they're coming back and saying, well, gee, I didn't realize the property was that poor condition. So instead of you going out four times, you go one time, you take pictures, you bring it back, put it on the website, and now you or put it on a Google Street, Google Drive link that you send to people, and you get them to make an offer or at least give you a number before they go out. So at least you know if you're going to be even in the ballpark. So there are other things, you know, when you mention that four times sold property, that I would ask to see if, in fact, there are some things that you can make more efficient that maybe perhaps are inefficient right now.
Yeah, the way I have been doing it is when I get an investor that's interested in a property, 95% of the time I've already taken photos, so I have them you know, in a file, and then I email them the photos. I give them all the pertinent information regarding the property, and then ask for their feedback before I schedule a meeting, and then I pre-qualify them to make sure that they're, you know, a cash buyer. And if not, I want to know what type of buyer that they are so that I can, you know, say yay or nay. So, yeah, I am filtering it to a certain degree, but I don't know.
Like, in the example, is it something where, like, if I have a buyer come to a property and he says to me, as an example, he says, you know, this property, the foundation is really bad, and I wouldn't buy it because of this. And so then sometimes you have to then the next buyer that comes back, and you might say, well, I just want the one where I had a guy look at it, and he didn't like it because he thought the foundation. You know what I mean? In other words, it's like, my question is, like, have you had a property, give me, like, one example. You had a property where you have multiple showings and nobody wants it. Is it an issue with the price of the property, you think, or what's the issue that they're coming back to you with and saying it's not a good deal for me?
The one in particular that I referenced was a single family home in a rental area for Pitt University of Pitt. It's a five mm-hmm. bedroom, four bath. It's really priced right. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the house, okay? I've screened them. I've been very specific about...
But what do they tell you when it comes down to it? What do they say?
Some of them just don't like where the property is, okay? And even though I've, you know, shown them the Google Map, I, you know, they know where the property is. So I'm not quite sure why that was one response. Another response was, you know, the price. I could only go to a certain price point because I knew my seller wouldn't go any lower. And that had been an issue, but we finally got that ironed out as far as, you know, what we have under contract now. So, and then the other one, they flat out made an offer. It was accepted, and then they walked away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think I always say this. It all comes down, to me, in my opinion, most of the time it all comes down to price. Because if somebody makes you an offer and then walks away, if it's, maybe there was an issue on price, and then they had cold feet. If somebody says, you know what, it's a great price, but I just don't like the location, to me, that's an issue of price. Because I always consider price is the great equalizer. Because at some price, no matter how bad the property, no matter what crappy location there is, or where it's located, there is a price that somebody will overlook those items. And so to me, I always come back to price as kind of the great equalizer in that, you know, there might be, and I would say, you know, I never say I think it's price right because, and I think, you know, but in general, I don't say that because, you know, price is a relative number. The true definition of price is really what a willing and able buyer is willing to purchase a property for. So although the property comps and the numbers may appear to be worth X, if you have three people make you a Y, Z, and, you know, W offer, then guess what? It's not X. It's something else because it's really what a willing and able buyer is in the open marketplace is willing to pay for the property. Mm-hmm. So I would look at it in terms of price as and that, considering all other things. But, I mean, to me, I would say, okay, well, at some price somebody wants it, maybe it's not the price that maybe it's not the deal I think it is for some reason.
Right. Okay.
Gary?
Yeah, just a couple other things. I would just say, you know, what you're looking for, big picture, Art and everybody, you're looking for really good repetitive buyers, right? That's what you're looking for. You're looking for one or two or three or four repetitive buyers that you learn the product that they want. You get a good relationship with them, and then you can you've got a working relationship where you can just text them. They go out to the property, and that's what you're looking for. You're going to have to do what you're doing until you get there. I think over time, you could get a really hungry realtor, probably a young realtor. You could pay him $25 to do that process for you, to actually go and go out to the property, or $20 or actually free. I'd give them some incentive, and then you could give them referrals. So the deals that are pretty houses, hotels, you could give them a referral for like a 20% marketing fee and use the same realtor and say, hey, if you go out and show the property for me, I'll pay you $20 and I'll also give you some of my overflow deals. And in exchange, you know, and then you actually should get paid on those. You can't get a commission unless you're a broker, an agent, but you can charge them a marketing fee. But I wouldn't do that until you get your buyer process wired. And I think that it's going to take you going out to the house if you can and meet with the buyers. You know, sometimes you can send the buyer out to the property to do a drive-by just to see if it's of interest. Sometimes they don't have to go into the house. They can drive by the neighborhood and see if it's a property they want and if you're in the ballpark on the price. So, but I think you're going to have to be a little hands-on. Your issue over the last couple of months has been confidence on having buyers. So I think this is just part of the process. The fact that you got some to go out is a good thing. And but I wouldn't be doing that for very long. Knock down some deals, see if you can get a couple of repeat buyers, and then get somebody to do that role for you.
Okay.
And a realtor would be the best way to go, I think. Cool. All right. Let's take it back to Justin. Justin, I'd love to hear your story. It sounds like you got something good to share. So, Justin, you there?
Yeah, hey, guys. This happened a few weeks ago. I just haven't had the chance to bring it up. But basically, we got a deal under contract in St. Louis. It was a really skinny deal. It looked pretty ugly. We blasted it out to our buyers list, put it on Craigslist, and we had nothing but crickets chirping. So I had my partner in St. Louis, who's an agent, pull me a list of every single all-cash transaction that had closed in the past 6 months in that same zip. I called up, and so he printed out the realtor version of it where I could see who the listing agent was and who the buyer's agent was. So I called each one. There must have been like 25 or 30. I made about 30 phone calls with a basic script that went something like this. Hi, my name's Justin Lee. I understand you represented a buyer at 123 Main Street in an all-cash transaction. Do you remember that? And they would say yes. I'd say, awesome. I'm an investor. I've got an awesome off-market opportunity. I'm wondering if your buyer might be interested. Nine times out of ten, they say yes. One time out of ten, they would say, oh, it was a dad who bought it for his daughter or whatever. They're not an investor. I'd say, great. They'd always say, can you email me the details? I would say, no problem. Do you also mind if I add you to my buyers list? They would say, no problem. And so I made banged out like 25 or 30 phone calls one afternoon. One guy had taken his buyer there, shown it by 7 p.m., and we had a contract the next morning at 10 a.m. The deal was definitely a single, maybe even a swinging bunt single, but there was still cash in our pockets, and we added about, 30 or so agents to our cash buyer list, and, it was more of a, making something happen rather than sitting around waiting for a buyer to, come up and ask us.
That's awesome. Justin, do you have the script that you built for that?
I do.
Can that be something you share?
Yeah, no problem.
That would be awesome. And Debbie, I know you're on the call. I'm going to probably have you take the recording from this and build maybe a process flow around it as well. That'd be awesome. Anything you have, Justin, if you just email it to email it to support or suggestion box.
Yeah, and we just got another one under contract in San Diego right before the long weekend where, I made like two calls on Friday, and I'm like, what am I doing? This is a waste of time. It's a holiday. So we will start hitting that list, another zip code, I'll report back see how it goes on this one as well. So for this one is different. We're gonna have to go outside the zip codes, but this one is a cash flow rental duplex deal in San Diego, which you don't really see that often because it's Southern California. So it'll be interesting to see, the different types of response we get. But it's the same thing. We're pulling out all 2, 3, and 4 unit properties that were bought all cash in the past 6 months. And I think we've got a list of about 40 to hammer out and see if we can drum up a buyer.
Yeah, I was going to say a cash flow rental in San Diego is about the equivalent of sighting a Bigfoot out in the open at a Starbucks, right? I'd be real curious to know about the results in that on the MLS. So you're going to call the MLS the same thing as you did in San Luis, but instead do it for the San Diego deal, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd be real curious about that. I don't know if Tom. Tom Crow, he also is very big on agents, and going to agents for buyers because, unlike another wholesaler, they'll be able to take less than the typical wholesaler when they want 50% of the deal. And many times the buyers that the agents are working with, are willing to take less money or willing to do a less profit margin than your typical, hardcore investor. That's something we've been looking into as well.
And as a quick side note, to throw it back to the guy from the Berg who was talking before me, I've forgotten his name. Have you guys paid attention to or have you seen Todd Toback's latest sales process of how they're dispersing of properties once they get them under contract?
I have not.
I'll email it to you, Chris. But basically what he does is he sets up one big open house, and he's like, you got to come through the property at this time. You walk the property, and they have a suggested price, and they say your bid is due by tomorrow at 9 a.m. if you want it. And he marches everybody through it one time.
Pardo does that. Alex Pardo here locally does that. But on deals that he has activity, right? So if you got one, and I'm not sure if that's the case with Todd, but Alex, what he does is that if he gets like all of a sudden his phone's blowing up because everybody and their mother is calling, he'll switch it out to an open house and he'll get everybody come in. But if he has a deal and it's like one person calling and not that much activity, then obviously it doesn't make sense for him. So maybe it could be that in San Diego, in your neck of the woods there, that everybody and their mother is just going to hop on every deal, if it's remotely good. But that's interesting, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll email you guys. So where do you want me to send that script to, Gary?
Send it to suggestionbox@reivault.com.
Okay.
That'll come across to me. Hey, when you relaunched your San Diego marketing, you said that the very first call turned into a deal, but then it might have gone sideways. Did you get it back?
Not yet.
Still working?
Still working. He's got a mentally disabled tenant in there, and he is a very conscientious, considerate landlord who doesn't want to upset the apple cart, so to speak. So there's a process that we're working through.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't want to be on News Channel 8, got investor who threw out the mentally disabled tenant.
You don't want that on your resume?
Not really, no.
Okay. Well, you know, we always talk, Gary and I always talk about the funny messages that people leave. You know, obviously you get people that are upset at you for some reason or other because they got the postcard and they listen to the message and they want to leave a rant. And I always say I'm very proud of myself because someone left me a message and called me a parasite to humanity. And so, therefore, whenever somebody asks what's the worst thing you've ever been called, I can always say, I've been called a parasite to humanity, and they would stand up and say, wow, that's pretty impressive. So.
Very good.
All right.
Awesome. Chris, looks like we got one more call, and that's from New York, and 917 area code. You are live.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Awesome. Who's this?
Marty from New York. How you doing?
Marty.
Hey, Marty.
Can you hear me? I apologize. My phone is not too clear. Listen,
yeah.
Since you guys were on the topic of scripts, I mean, that's something that I've been thinking about for a while. Have you come up with some sort of program or, script for what you guys are doing? Did you hear me?
No, you mean like a formalized a script? We're working on a script on one of the other test campaigns that we're in the process of rolling out. But are you talking, when you say a script, meaning an intake script or really a sales-driven script?
I would say a sales script. I mean, look, basically everybody that's been in sales usually has a script when they... When they're on the phone. So, I mean, that's the best case scenario, and instead of me creating my own script, which I've been doing, I would love to, other than listen to your calls live, as far as the calls you make with your sellers, I would love to see what kind of scripts you were using or you would think that we could use.
Chico, don't
a couple questions.
Don't we have the script all on the training?
I was just checking on that. A couple of quick questions, Marty. On the member site, there's an objection handling course that I have on there that has scripts, etc. Is that something? I remember you had asked me for some stuff over last week. I sent you some stuff, right?
Yes. Actually,
okay.
I was going to use. I mean, those aren't scripts. Those are basically. Pointers, bullet points of certain subjects, and I was going to create a script out of that. But you kind of formalize that, especially for newer people that are in the program, might be very helpful. I know instead of me recreating the wheel, it would have been nice to have that in front of me when I had started a year ago.
I think I'll go ahead, Gary.
That's a really great point. I thought we had them out there, and what we'll do is we'll put the request in to get a bunch of scripts and process flows and possibly a couple of the VAs. Robert Nickel, a bunch of us use his VAs, and I'll see if I can get some of his scripts as well and load them up onto the training site. That's a really good point. I was almost certain we had a ton of different types of scripts on the training site. So if we don't have them, we should have them for sure.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. That would be great. I mean, and if it does come to fruition, how would we be notified? Would that be, you would send out an email or you would post that? I mean, all these new things that you're coming up with, I mean, how do we keep abreast of it?
So, Chris, have we had this discussion, like, 50 times. This little project actually is sitting on Chris's shoulders. We hired a new marketing guy because Chris actually has been doing a lot of that in the back end. We're going to build a blog. So we're going to actually build a formal REI Vault blog that actually has all of the new stuff that we're rolling out when it's rolled out, and then links to training, and get that out. It's something that we are doing, and it's on our list right now.
Okay.
You want to say where is it, Chris? Is it project number 4 or project number 5? But
I think we have it on the as far as an official process for disseminating that, I think we put it on the August deck, I believe. I have to look at the sheet, but it is something that Gary and I have discussed.
It is coming. The deal dashboard, you guys are actually going to be blown away. The most important thing for this deal dashboard, it's going to be something you can order once a month. About 7 or 8 of you have actually seen it. It really is phenomenal. It's you get a link, but there's going to be some training. And so we need to get that. That would be something on there. The new marketing campaigns, exactly what they are, how often we're mailing, like this distressed seller with equity list, we're mailing 5 pieces at 10-day intervals. That actually was recommended. Originally it was going to be 7-day, but we decided 10 because Justin Lee actually made the recommendation. Everybody else liked it, to try not to have the same piece land on the same day. So we want to be able to have all these different things available, not only on the training site, but also kind of in a feature release, a blog. That is coming. It's coming soon. Because there is a lot of new stuff. While I have you, I know we're at the end of the hour. One other thing, I'd love it if you guys like this idea, the email suggestion box at reivault.com, and just say, you like this idea, okay? And the idea is a service that can actually call some of your leads back and actually take them through a script. If you don't have a working team, this is what there's a group called Eagle VA. We actually have a couple of members in REI Vault doing this. So we're thinking of adding this as another shared service, as an add-on, where you can have your leads, probably a pack of them, probably a pack of like, 10 or 15 plus a bunch of hang-ups, where you got a professional onshore team that's trained, that has over 10 years of turning no's or leads into yeses and walking them through a full lead sheet process. And adding that as an add-on option. It's probably not even that expensive to do. But if you don't have VAs and you don't have your own internal sales staff, we've got a couple of people in our group, in the REI Vault group, that are having a lot of success doing that, using a service. So anyway, if that's something that you would like, you think that would be a really good add-on that you might want to be able to take advantage of, let us know. We could kind of centralize it, and we'd allow one team to actually be able to work the Podio lead in a process like the VAs do. So if you like that kind of concept or other concepts, email suggestion box at reivault.com or go out to reivault.com/suggestion box. Either way. Chris, any other final points before we drop the call today? End the call?
No, I don't. I don't have any other final points.
Cool. All right, everybody. Have a great week. See ya.
Thanks, guys.